just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 368. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined, as usual, by my co-host and engineer extraordinaire, Miss Nicole Shiro. You are listening to us, all of us, on KOOP, Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM, and we are streaming live on this Wednesday at koop.org. Do what I say and stay with us.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It's too nice a day.
It is Wednesday, July 6th, 2016, on the show today, Zach Theater's show, Buyer and Seller, and in Zilker Theater Productions' production of Shrek. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the views and news of the world of theater in New York, Austin, Chicago, Sweden, and Stockholm. Stick with us.
Then we'll all be out of a job.
If it costs that much to get suntanned,
I'll stay untanned.
Okay, I thought I had timed this out perfectly that we'd play to the end, but it had 20 more seconds to go, so we're just going to stop it.
Oh, well, we tried.
Nicole Shiro, hello.
Hello.
We are back after the long July 4th holiday.
Yes.
Or as I like to call it, the long July 4th holiday.
Yes. You're very, very, very right on that
yeah,
one, Lisa.
Yeah, I'm very exact and specific. Did you have a good holiday?
I did. You know why? Because I spent it with you, Lisa.
I came over to your house and we ate lots of food.
Well, you know how much I felt like a Weeble Wobble. Do you remember Weeble Wobbles?
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. No one knows what we're talking about because we're so old.
There's the Weebles musical, which is quite good.
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't either. I just made it up.
Oh. I loved Weebles Wobble, but I felt like a Weeble Wobble.
Yeah,
I
don't believe they had Weebles when I was very young because I never owned one.
Oh, I
had
all
the Weebles. Or maybe just
because
I was deprived and I wasn't able to have anything. I played with matchsticks and pieces of dirt.
Sometimes if you were a good girl, you got some rope.
Little frayed rope.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, stuff we'd find in the garbage bins. Around the flat, as it were.
Around the flat.
Around the flat. So I want to thank Sonic George, who was standing in for Kim Simpson, and a wonderful international folk bazaar.
I know. I don't need to go anywhere. I can just travel around
right here.
And
it went really well with the ginger snaps from IKEA, the Norwegian ginger snaps. I know it's Swedish.
I was just about to say, aren't
Shipman's
they Swedish?
At, yes, I know. But I like to do things. I'm like the Yogi Berra.
You just made a sports reference.
I did. So let's introduce the folks that are here with us. We have J. Robert Moore, otherwise known as Jimmy Moore.
Hi, hello.
You're looking at me like, am I supposed to talk?
Yes.
You are supposed to talk.
I'm so terribly nervous.
It's very scary. It's very intimidating. Celeste Castillo.
Hi.
You are so... She went right to the microphone.
She did go right to the... I was just excellent. About to go, uh-oh, is she going to know? And she
Mr. Patrick King, welcome
hello.
To the show. And Scott Shipman.
Yes, yes. Hello.
Scott Shipman, the only veteran of the group here, I believe. Nobody else has been on the show.
Oh, that's true.
No.
It is a lot. I like that. It's kind
we
of
do.
Exciting.
Well, I do what I can. Newbies, yeah. We like to call you guys.
Yeah.
Did everybody have a good fourth?
Yes, quite.
Did anybody do anything theatrical, like rehearse their show? Over the weekend?
No, we were booted out of our theater.
Were you really?
Yeah, well, because of the fireworks.
Oh, because of the fireworks. Park. Your theater being the Zilker stage.
Hillside.
Right. But isn't the fireworks are at Auditorium Shores, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, but for whatever, I think there might be a symphony or a concert or something on the stage.
Ooh, symphony.
Either way, we're told we can't be there.
That's bizarre.
You could have rehearsed in your apartment.
I did.
I pulled out the Broadway board game, but you didn't want to play.
No, I didn't play it. That Broadway board game is heavy.
It was like,
it was
we haven't played it yet, but after Lisa was reading the box, it looks like the game of life.
It was intimidating.
Because we had to, like, go to auditions and then get our equity card and go on tour.
Why would you want to do that on a holiday? That's your work day.
So this little piece of music that I played coming in was from a little show called She Loves Me. And it is that piece of music was from the current 2016 version of She Loves Me, which they just released the album.
Yes.
So so those of you that love some Laura Benanti and love some Jane Krakowski and love some Levi Strauss, you can go.
Listen, I was impressed by that little Zachary Levi.
Yeah, you know, he's very God, who was Jimmy Stewart? Who
you think?
In She Loves Me, he
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I guess so.
Very Jimmy Stewart in She Loves Me.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that he got to do it because I had heard that when they did Young Frankenstein, he was originally cast as Frederick and then had to drop out because of this TV show Chuck. And so I was like, I didn't know he could sing. So,
well, yeah. No, he did First Date. He was in the original, so and that was a lot of singing,
which
and
has been playing. I've been listening to Alexa play.
She likes to play that for
she
you.
She likes to play that. He's a little.
Does she play now? Your other one at the theater, your Pandora one, didn't that always used to play the Little Mermaid for you? So yes. Does Alexa like the Little Mermaid or not?
No, Alexa doesn't.
Really?
Come on and kiss the girl. I love that. So that was from She Loves Me. So who on Thursday night saw the streaming She Loves Me?
We were in rehearsal.
I had a show.
You were doing a show. And see, those of us who are
I was at
slugged,
a launch party.
Well, I saw it. So
a launch
are y'all,
launch
do you know
party.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Okay, well, so we're very excited. This is the very first time they've ever streamed live Broadway show.
Amazing.
And it was pretty amazing, but it was very frustrating because
I have something to solve that for you.
Well, no, there was nothing to solve.
I can solve it, but you can tell
it. No, because it already happened. It happened in the past.
Yes, but for 1 week afterwards, you can still watch it from
front
to end.
No, this was
so then you won't get the.
No, I didn't get it. So what happened if you listened to the Twitter sphere or heard anything ahead of time, when you went to log on, you got this buffering, and then it would disappear and an error message would come up every time you logged on. So this was a pay-per-view thing. So we all paid $9 to $10, $20 to see it, I think. And I was very frustrated. And I thought it was just me. So I got on the Twitter. You'd be very proud of me.
I know. At least
and I said,
so
I'm going to hashtag it and see if other people have it. And everybody, this thing is problem. And it lasted through the half of the first number, the opening number, and then it went away. And from that point forward, it was beautiful. And it was good. The show is good. The critics, has anybody read any of the critical hojis on it?
Yeah, yes. I've read some stuff on it.
So most of the people were saying that you lost a lot because of the television, because you can't choose what you did. And I will say the cutting, the direction of it, from the camera direction of it, was pretty heavy-handed. Lots of fast cuts.
They used 10 MTV cameras, which I didn't think I was kind of like, really? That's a lot. That's a large setup.
They had good coverage. And the camera work was good. I think it might have been cut a little too aggressively. Mm-hmm. But the show is delightful.
Mm-hmm. I love the show. I will thank you because I couldn't go. I had to go to this event. Mm-hmm. And you recorded my favorite song and sent me a little clip. And I went outside and listened. And I was like, it's 12 Days to Christmas.
I was sitting there waiting. I said, So I watched it with a friend of mine, Maureen McLean, who's a fan of the show.
Oh, hello, Maureen.
She, at that point, which is the second to last number, that's the 11 o'clock number, fast asleep.
Oh, that's so sad because that's such
a
great number.
I was crying. Laura Benanti rocks the party.
She's perfect.
Yeah.
She's perfect.
And the set was gorgeous. Really, really beautiful
set.
It's like
candy.
And they were saying that was one of the problems that didn't translate well. So if it was so good on for me and watching it to see it live, now I wish I had gone to see it when I was in town.
And didn't they win Best Set Design for a Musical Tony just
they did.
Recently?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they did.
For good cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It was a beautiful set. Beautiful, beautiful set. And the guy that plays, the kid that plays the clerk.
Nicholas Barash.
Oh, my God.
You love him?
Yes. What great energy. Do you know this?
Yeah, he was also in the remount of Mystery of Edwin Drood that just happened.
He was, yes. I saw him
in
that as
well.
I think
you saw him,
yeah. Yes, I did.
Who was he in Edwin Drood?
He was deputy. Young, what is it? Nick Crocker,
yay.
Whatever that young kid is, Dirtle's assistant.
Okay. Oddly enough, both in Studio 54.
Both
Roundabout Productions.
Dun 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Is there a connection? Dun dun dun
dun
dun.
Dun.
Okay,
solving
so that was
mysteries.
She loves me.
theatrical mysteries.
I love that show. There was a very interesting article in the Nueva York Times about a...
That Nueva York Times, you know, it gets it right sometimes.
El Tiempo de Nueva York.
The gray lady, baby.
there is a book that's called After Anna Tefka, written by Hoji Silber, Alexandra Silber, who played... Who marries the guy that goes off to Siberia in Fiddler?
Chava.
Chava. I keep getting Chava inside. She played Chava originally in this production, wherever it was before. It was in New York. And she thought it'd be very interesting to look at what happened to Chava once she went to Siberia.
Well, Chava's story is the craziest to me.
I don't know.
They're all really good, but I have
Hoddle's story is just so heartbreaking.
Oh, and her dad like disowns her, man.
But
that's
not at
like,
the end. At the end, he says
maybe
oh
I have daddy
God.
Issues, and it translates
oh
for
my
me.
God,
and I don't
so
know.
So beautiful, but that was. Anyway,
I mean, I love the
I'm
whole
right
show.
The daddy
no,
yeah.
But Danny Burstein did such a good job with that.
It,
did you see it?
Yes, I did see yeah. it. I saw it during Christmas.
So it really shows, we'll take this little tangent. It shows that the people that have their faith that's so built in mm-hmm. and how difficult it is for them and choosing that importance. And he made a decision to stick with his faith. But at the end, he turns.
Yeah.
He turns.
He's got that one line. I can't God. Think of it, but yes.
And be well or something. Yeah. Cueing... the mother said. Anyway, so she wrote a thank you. You're the Nicole is the best engineer ever. She wrote a book that supposes her life after she goes to Siberia called After Anna Tefka.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. And how very wicked of her.
And mm-hmm, she right. is now Ooh, playing is. Seidel
oh.
on Broadway.
All right.
So it's
that's
the woman,
the same girl?
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, she played Chava before and not yeah, Chava. So it's very interesting article about this, and I want to read the book.
I would like to read the book.
She supposes that she gets incarcerated as well, so they're both mm-hmm. in jail when she goes there. So it's very interesting.
Do you read books, like real, actual, physical books these days, or are you an e-book person?
You know what? I have taken to reading books on my iPhone.
Have you really?
Yes. Oh,
wow.
How
book
do
book.
You do that? You're
oh,
a
no,
Nook
totally
book?
Book
kind
no,
of?
I'm a book.
You're
book.
A book.
I am a build
it's
a library
weird. It depends
home.
On what I'm reading. Sometimes I don't mind the electronic, and sometimes all I want is a physical book.
Well, I'll tell you, I got used to it when my mother was in the hospital as she was after her stroke. I would sit there with her, and I didn't. It was unexpected, so all I had was my iPhone, and I decided to give it a try. And I would sit there, and it's so lightweight, and you turn the pages with your thumb. It was great.
Interesting.
It was great.
I was wondering. I never asked, so I did.
After Anna Tefka. So have y'all heard of the show Privacy, which
Is that the one that Daniel Radcliffe's
yes.
starring in? Yes.
Yes.
Or Privacy.
Or Privacy.
Shall
it's
we be
actually,
in England?
Privacy, because it is a British text.
Yes. Yes. I have heard of that.
It's
now it rings a bell. Privacy.
It's from a theater that I keep mispronouncing. I got to remember the name of it. Donier Warehouse.
Donmar Warehouse.
Not Donmar Warehouse. It's the other one.
The Meunier Chocolate Factory?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I want to say Meunier.
I always want to say Meunier.
Yeah.
We were there, we said Minor, so.
Yeah. Minor.
There you go. So the Minor. So the Privacy is a show that had happened before that it talks about privacy, and they were trying to get Snowden to be part of it. And they couldn't, but they do have him now. So what they did was they set up a video conference with Daniel Radcliffe and Snowden. They videotaped Snowden's section. So in the show, he's performing to a recording of Snowden. But also Snowden does a scene from Caliban in The Tempest as well.
Interesting.
Which is, well, because
the
it's...
choice.
It all has to do with privacy.
There's a lot of spare time.
Privacy. Be not afeard, the isle is full of noises. With the words privacy, creatures, resonant sounds, and sweet airs that give delight but hurt not.
Interesting.
Yeah, they'll do that.
Speaking of it.
You said Caliban and the Tempest. I don't remember who did it, but someone just, and screening in, but someone just did a version of the Tempest with Ariel as a video projection, as a hologram.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and I was just reading about it today, and shoot, I can't remember, but speaking of video projection in Caliban,
there's all kinds of magic in that show. There's a lot of great opportunities.
It is. It's all about magic.
At first I was like, hologram, video, and then I was like, wait, that could kind of be interesting.
Yeah, there's all kinds of great opportunities for that show.
Yeah, Tim, one of my faves.
I know, we do.
Yep. So a couple of new shows coming in. First of all, Holiday Inn is actually coming in. One of my favorite, and I meant to bring it in, one of my favorite movies of all time is Holiday Inn. And I have the old...
DVD, VHS? No, I still have all my VHS.
Further away.
Oh, the beta.
No.
The actual film reel.
No, stop. The record... The LP, but it's not it's not an LP like you would know. It's the old unbreakable LPs, which were very breakable. They're smaller than the ones that we're accustomed to, and they're hard plastic and thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I listen to it all the time. I still have it. But it has a great Irving Berlin score, beautiful story, and it's, you know, people that know it's Bing Crosby. It's where White Christmas was written for.
Which you know I'm I love me some White Christmas.
Of a white Christmas. Snow. Well,
snow.
Look, all you singers here, none of you can.
No, you guys are doing a great
snow.
Job. Are you
I was like, no one snows with me.
Sisters, right?
Okay. No one's.
I'm not.
Yes, that's, sisters, yeah. Yeah, sisters anyway. From that.
Sisters. So Holiday Inn is going to open at Studio 54, speaking of roundabout.
Is Nicholas Baroff going to be in it?
Bringing it all. You know what? He's not leaving. He's just hanging out back there.
Bryce Pinkham is playing Jim. Laura Lee Gayer, Megan Lawrence, and Megan Sikora, amongst others. Corbin Blue.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
He's playing Ted. But it opens in October. Previews beginning September 1st. Or as this article says, 1 September.
1
September.
1 Sept? Or does it say 1 September?
1 September.
I can't say.
Anybody True Blood?
Well, I've watched some of it, but I wasn't.
I kept up with it. Stand by, True Blood the Musical.
Caution.
That's all right.
True Blood the Musical.
Someone out there is happy.
Yeah, right.
And that's exciting.
Well, it's once American Psycho closed early, they had to do something with all that.
Oh, that blood budget. I was just about to say, normally I get excited about anything that has a blood budget, a water budget, or a fire budget. This is the first blood budget I am passing up.
So there was a workshop in New York for this musical adaptation. It starred, I don't know any of these people, Clybourne Elder, Ellen Foley, and Anne Harada.
I know Anne Harada. She's actually great. She was the original Avenue Q. She played Christmas Eve.
Yes.
And then she was one of the ugly stepsisters in Cinderella.
Okay, there you go. See? And y'all were worried that you wouldn't know what to talk about at this point.
Yeah.
Y'all know much more than me. Doesn't have any kind of other casting. Or they don't even announce that cast. There's nothing, no word on Broadway. But that's the music is by Nathan Barr, who did the music for the TV series.
Interesting.
Oh. Book that's and lyrics by Elizabeth Scott. Otherwise known as Liz Scott.
Liz Scott?
Mm-hmm. Yep. There
Liz
you go.
Likes to have tea.
There's an interesting production of Little Shop of Horrors.
Which is interesting about it.
No puppet.
No puppet?
So
no puppet.
Is there no plant?
That's a sacrilege. I mean, there is a plant. There is an Audrey II, and it's played by this woman. I'll show it to the audience.
She's smiling.
This woman is playing the voice of the plant. Who will be lip-synced by a drag queen.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
I feel like I have read
about
this.
About this, but there you go.
Where is this happening?
This woman is playing the voice of the plant that will then be lip-synced
by a drag queen.
But correct. Unfortunately, we still don't have a plant. So, like, where is the plant?
The plant is a drag queen.
She's dressed like Poison Ivy.
The plant is a metaphor.
Oh, yeah.
She's probably
going to
have something very...
The plant is a metaphor. Exactly.
Something fabulous.
So this woman's name is Briohan... I cannot...
We'll call her Becky.
Yeah, we'll call her Becky. Pronounce that name for me. That's hard. Anyway, it starts tonight.
Where is it?
Yeah, where's that?
Brianna Parham.
Oh, you know.
Brianna?
Good old Bree.
It's a funky way of spelling Brianna.
Okay, could be a funky way of spelling it. She's in Ragtime, which I've been listening to lately. I just love that.
Oh, the score is so phenomenal.
It's going to be done at the Berkshire Theater Group.
Interesting.
In Pittsfield. Pittsfield, Mass.
I'm
Also starting tonight.
Yes.
Encores, Off-Center, Runaways, the Liz Suedos.
Ooh.
Yes.
Who just passed away this month, or last month.
Oh, yeah, because it is July.
Yeah.
No, I saw that. I would like to see that.
They cast this from high school students.
I know.
So
the children.
Chillins.
I love the children's the on chillins. The stage. All
right. The last thing I'm going to say is that really we were talking about Fun Home before the show, which I, for some reason, thought Emily Skinner was in. But it's Emily Skeggs is who I was thinking of. That's her name?
That's really cool.
Nicole?
Emily Skeggs is her name. Emily Skinner, yeah. Who is I'm always talking about. And that's why I was like, in Emily Skinner, really? Yeah.
No, Jimmy was saying he just something about Emily Skinner. And I said, I love her. I just saw her in Fun Home. And then there were sight crickets in the room going.
I had no idea that Emily was in Fun Home right now.
But Emily Skeggs, who is just awesome. But Fun Home is doing an awesome thing. They are doing a concert performance this Sunday in Orlando to benefit to benefit Equality Florida and the Pulse Nightclub and the victims of the shooting. And everybody from the entire cast is coming to do it. Of the current cast.
Nice.
Oh, that's
really cool. And that
really
is,
cool.
Of all the principals, it's all the original cast, with the exception of little...
Sydney Lucas?
Yeah, little Sydney Lucas.
Because she's here filming with Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, we're going to do the quiz. Y'all ready for the quiz?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, there's a quiz?
Yeah. How did you do on this today?
There's a quiz. I got 3 out of 5. Did I get 3 out of 5? So this is a quiz that the New York Theater Guide... And there's only X amount of pretty soon I'm going to start knowing all the answers, so I'm going to get them
all. Well, I think you only recycled like 2 questions so far.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. Carol Channing has played the role of Dolly Gallagher Levi. By the way, Hello Dolly was on TV this weekend.
Oh,
I just...
movie.
Can you not watch
it's
it?
My favorite.
I know.
And here's the thing that I didn't... I'm sorry, I'm going to go off on a little tangent.
It's when Dolly, you can.
When I Please think do. Of...
Babs.
Who played the Phantom of the Opera?
Michael Crawford.
Crawford. When I think of Michael Crawford, I think of Phantom. I think of a serious...
You don't think of...
He came from comedy and slapstick.
Yeah. He's like a little vaudevillian.
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny thinking
after like,
the way
whenever
before,
I see Hello Dolly, I cannot believe that's Michael Crawford.
I love him in Barnum.
Playing Cornelius. Mm-hmm.
Cornelius Heckel.
Cornelius, yeah. Yep.
That's my favorite Barbra Streisand movie.
It's
We're
going to
talk about it.
We can talk about Barbra Streisand. We'll get there. Anyway, Carol Channing has played the role of Dolly Gallagher Levi in Hello Dolly 3 times on Broadway, 1978, 1995, and which year did she originate the role? 1953, 1961, or 1964?
I believe it's 53.
53.
63.
64.
63.
61.
64, okay.
61.
So the person that knows Barbara Streisand and knows when the Hello Dolly movie was says it was 64.
I think it was 64.
He's right.
There you go.
And you and I.
Bravo, bravo.
We got that right.
Safe wing.
We got that right.
Safe
okay.
Right here.
Putting on a Sunday clothes.
The world is an oyster, but don't crack it open on a mattress. Name the Arthur Miller play that this line comes from.
Oh.
Is it Broken Glass, Death of a Salesman, or A View from the Bridge? I got this one wrong.
Stop. I would go A View from the Bridge.
Pass.
I'm going to go Broken
Glass.
Broken Glass?
Broken Glass.
I haven't heard it. Yeah. I was like you, said View from the Bridge, because I said it can't be Death of a Salesman. Too easy, but it's Death of a Salesman.
Nope, too easy.
Okay. I'm not going to give you all the choices for this one, because you should just know it. The story of Mamma Mia is set on which island?
Greece. It's like, Santorini, Greece.
Yeah. Yeah, the other choices were Canary Islands and the Falkland Islands.
Oh, I thought
really?
You had to
those
name,
are
like,
some
these
really
specific
different
islands.
Islands.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's
interesting.
There's a good 1,000 and something to choose.
The question says island, and I was like, it's Mykonos. All right, what won the Best Musical in the 2008 Tony Awards? We have had this one here before.
Best Musical 2008?
Yeah. Do you know what it is with that? That's right.
So yes! I was about to say that.
That's my phone.
Did not win.
Okay. You're right, In the Heights. The other choices were Crybaby and Xanadu.
Nope.
No.
Yeah,
that's
you imagine?
Just who put those options together.
That was
Xanadu
the gimme
don't
question.
Might win, Xanadu don't win. Okay. What is the name of the Clifford Odets 1937 Broadway drama that was adapted into a Broadway musical of the same name in 1964? We're having a thing here. Okay, is it Awake and Sing, Golden Boy, or Paradise Lost?
Golden Boy.
Golden Boy.
Yeah, I said
what they said.
Sammy Davis Jr.,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think he was Sammy.
Okay, so now we're going to get to the quiz. This one we don't answer here because we do the quiz now and we answer it at Backstage at Offstage, which you can get by going to offstageonair.com and signing up or getting us on iTunes or Stitcher.
Yes.
Go.
Okay.
Do it.
It's one about Irving Berlin. After the war, Berlin's biggest hit, show he wasn't supposed to write, Annie Get Your Gun, Jerome Kern suffered a fatal stroke. Producers Rodgers and Hammerstein asked Berlin if he'd take the job. He wasn't sure if he could handle, quote, the hillbilly sound, unquote. But using the libretto by Dorothy and Herbert Fields for inspiration, he knocked out 10 songs in 8 days. Legend has it he wrote Anything You Can Do in a Taxi Cab. Mm. In 1946, starring the amazing Ethel Merman as sharpshooter Annie Oakley, it ran for 1,147 performances. Because of its combination of strong book and many classic songs, it's probably the best known of the work. Ray Middleton played Frank Butler, Annie rival sharpshooter and love interest. Frank declares he's a bad, bad man who exploits have made it impossible for him to return to parts of the country. Which of these locales is not on his list?
Okay.
A, Texas.
Don't answer.
B, Wyoming. C, Arkansas. D, Omaha. Or E, Tennessee.
Okay. We'll get the answer to that at backstage, at offstage when we're out there. And I love how you chose an Irving Berlin song because that's what we're going to go to break with. This is
maybe I did that on purpose.
You could have. This is from Holiday Inn, but this is not from the movie. It's actually a jazz version. And somebody named Frank Sinatra sings this.
Oh, my Jersey boy.
Be careful. It's my heart.
Welcome back. We're back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP. Hornsby Austin with me, Lisa Sheps, and me, Nicole Shiro. It's really her, Nicole Shiro. So we've been talking to a bunch of people, but we're going to switch here and just talk to one person, Mr. Jimmy Moore, J. Robert Moore. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad to be here.
So let's talk very quickly. So Jimmy Moore versus J. Robert Moore. What's the skinny? Why? Why?
It was thought at one point that it would be a little bit more exciting for equity if I had a little bit more exciting name. And I have to tell you that I changed the name and bam, I was just on Broadway.
There you go.
Across the country. So, but no, it's been fun. I like
so
it.
So was there, so does that, I'm just curious. Are you James Moore?
Yeah, my full name is James Robert Moore.
Was there a James Moore that?
My father's James Moore and I think he has an uncle that is also named James.
So I'm talking about an equity.
Oh, is there a James Moore or a Jimmy Moore? Name.
Yeah. So it doesn't, so it could have been, you could have, so Jimmy Moore, James Moore, both were taken.
Right.
Equity. Damn equity.
You know,
this is the problem though. With unions. They make you change your name. I love my Actors Equity Association. So how did you, well, no, you know what we're going to talk about that? That's what we're going to talk about at backstage. We're going to learn how Jimmy got his equity card.
Great.
Love those stories. But you're here. You are in the Zach production that has been playing for the last month now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Buyer and Seller, which is a fantastic show.
Yes, well, I like to think so.
It's a fun show.
It is a lot of fun.
Originated by Mr. Michael Urie in New York and Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So tell us about it.
Well, Buyer and Seller is a kooky little story about a young actor who is sort of at a point in his life where he's not quite sure where to go, and he ends up getting a lead, a job offer to work in somebody's basement. And that somebody turns out to be Barbara Streisand. And it is based on the very true story, which is that Barbara made a coffee table book a couple of years ago called My Passion for Design, where she goes through her home and talks about why she has what she has and her design aesthetic and, you know, just kind of takes us through really her collection of antiques and memorabilia. But underneath her barn, she has a storage facility that can only be described as a mall. So this character works in the mall in Barbara Streisand's basement. So.
Everybody's looking at each other
That's
going,
amazing.
Is that true? Yes, the
and that
mall
is a true
part
story.
Of it is true.
And
yes,
Nicole
the mall
was
part
supposed
is true.
To bring the book in today.
And I just
forgot.
Was like, oh my God, I left the book on the table. I have,
that's
I
okay.
know.
It's a terrific book if you get a chance to look at it. The pictures are beautiful. And she's also the principal photographer.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a big old dose of Barbara Streisand, that's the book to buy.
You learn all this in the show.
Mm-hmm.
The show is an education amongst other things. I got to take a quick little detour for just a second. Patrick, can you do me a favor and give me a number between 3 and, no, between 27 and 41?
Ooh, let's
wait, hold on. Okay, go.
Let's go with 39.
39. Okay, so we're gonna see what you chose in just a moment. Here we go, 39.
I'm nervous.
Hello, I'm Leroy Reams, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM.
Leroy, the dulcet tones of Leroy Reams.
Yeah.
He came in here with Lillian Montevecchi.
I was so excited.
And Kay Ballard. Oh. It was a really fun time.
The three of them were the three of them.
And his legal ID is the straightest. No pun intended. but he just sort of read it straight. Lillian Montevecchi and Kay Ballard are just hilarious.
Off the wall.
An apt person to interrupt your story.
Great.
So, all right. Well, thank you for being on the show. So a lot of it is factual up to a point, and then we just dive into fiction. Correct.
Right. So the playwright Jonathan Tollins really took the premise that is somebody might have to work in this basement to kind of keep it going, and just really let his imagination run wild and came up with this really kooky story about this guy who works down there and hid the relationship that develops with Barbara Streisand and the way that it affects his relationship with his boyfriend, who is kind of not pro Streisand towards the end of the show, and not to give anything away,
spoiler.
The way this. This job affects his life, and you know, it has messages about, you know, kind of hero worship and consumerism, if you want to look at it that way. But it's a comedy, but I think it also makes you think a little bit.
Yeah, yeah,
it does. It has some nice moments in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun role. So it's always challenging to do a one person show to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and then when you take something like this, which is really high energy and funny, it's like. Your cohort over at the Zach, Martin Burke,
mm-hmm.
doing the Sandland Diaries and everything,
right.
And No Reservations, not No Reservations.
Oh, Fully Committed.
Fully Committed, mm-hmm. which are both very similar in vein. It's like it's a lot of comedy and a lot of physical. How was that for you? Have you done one-person shows before?
You know, I did Sandland Diaries a couple of years ago, and I really thought that it was going to be very similar. But for me, it just...
Did you do it here?
Wasn't. No, I did it in San Antonio
a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's great.
I really have.
It's just a little jaunt down the road.
Yeah.
I think I wasn't quite prepared for how much the show is going to be, and I really feel like every night I just kind of leave it all on the stage, you know. So, but it's a lot. There's several characters that I play, and I think that it's really a masterclass, I think, in acting technique for me, because it's so important to make sure that all of these different characters are stand alone and really reacting to your own, you know, yourself. It's
well, all the rules still apply. So
of course.
You have to be convincing. You have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have all those things. And are you method?
Am I method? I don't think so.
Well,
I think if I was method, I would have run nuts by now.
Yeah. I was just about to say, that's got to be tough.
What are you talking about? He's in someone's basement every day and he disappears.
Yeah, right. I guess
day.
I could go home at the end of the day and, you know, spend the night in my attic or something.
So how excited were you to get the role?
Oh my gosh, I was so excited. When I was in London when I read Nat Miller, our director.
London, Ontario or London, England?
London, England.
Oh, okay. London, England. I get those two mixed up.
Yeah, they're real similar. I was in London, he sent me the script, I read it, and I just like, oh my gosh, I have to be a part of this, like, this would be so much fun. My mother was a huge Barbara Streisand fan when I was growing up, and so that was really my introduction to her, and it's kind of silly and makes me sound nuts, but I really feel like I grew up thinking of Barbara Streisand as like a friend, or like one of my mother's friends, or like, you know, an aunt or something like that. I just watched so many of her movies, and like I said, I loved Hello, Dolly. Hello, Dolly, you know, as a little... It's a little young gay gentleman. I watched Hello, Dolly one summer.
YGG, we call those.
Yeah. I watched Hello, Dolly one summer, like, every day. Like, I just would sit there and watch Hello, Dolly. I mean, I had nothing else to do. And so my sisters were like, turn this off. But
here's a tangent quiz for everybody.
Great.
What restaurant is the Harmonia Gardens supposed to be in real life? What was it in real life in New York?
Oh.
Delmonico's?
Nope. On 14th Street. There's the clue.
On 14th?
Luchow's.
Wow.
Luchow's.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
there you
amazing.
Go.
I used to, when I was living in New York, I used to walk down 14th Street and be like, where, if the Harmonia Gardens was real, where would it be? But
I can tell you exactly where it was, because when I lived on 14th Street when I first moved there in 77, and Luchow's still existed, and it was a block away from me. So it was between 4th and 5th.
It was 4th and 5th?
Yeah.
I think it's a Verizon store now.
I think it is.
and poor, oh God, what's his name? The maitre d'?
Rudolph.
Yeah, Rudolph is Rudolph sitting in the front. You know,
may I help you?
So you're prepared to do a little, we can hear a little bit of this.
Sure, you want to hear a little bit?
Yeah, you want to set it up a little bit?
Yeah, great. So the little section we're going to do, it is, they're sort of my characters, Alex, the sort of my base character, the narrator, and Barbara are kind of in this haggling match for this one piece of this one doll that Barbara wants to buy, which she already owns because they sort of improv together in her basement, like you would, you know, if you had nothing else to do and you were Barbara Streisand. So she's come back to sort of put the manipulation on him.
Put the screws to
him. Yeah, to see if she can get him to lower the price on the doll she wants to buy.
Excellent. Well, this is J. Robert Brown doing a scene from Zach Theater's production of Buyer and Seller.
Each day, I put on my Music Man costume and went through the entire mall, making sure the counters were clean, all the merchandise was properly displayed, and the flowers in the root cellar hadn't wilted. And then I'd stand in B's doll shop and wait. And wait. Yogurt machine. Popcorn maker. Whirr. Sadie, hello, I had a feeling you'd be back. I wanted to show you something. She was in no mood for pleasantries. She opened an old L.L. Bean monogrammed tote and pulled out something that looked fuzzy and odd. When I was a little girl living in Brooklyn, I didn't have any dolls to play with. We were too poor, and not just financially, you know what I mean? I had to sleep in the same bed with my mother every night, but there was no warmth there. It was the coldest place I'd ever been, colder than Aspen. Now remember, I was a smart, precocious little girl, always asking questions, always wanting to know why. But what could I play with? I had nothing. So I used a hot water bottle. That was my only friend. I think that's where we'll stop, yeah?
Yeah, well, the sad part is my only friend is a hot water bottle to this day.
And I heard you played with matches when you were a kid from the garbage can, so you guys would have something to talk about if you ever met.
I love that was one of my favorite sections in the play. It was really fun.
It is really fun.
Little Barbara Streisand playing
with... This play makes me giggle.
Playing with him and toying with him like a little cat.
She can be very manipulative.
She can
that Barbara.
Be. So you've been playing for the last month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Houses are great.
Houses are great. The longer we run, the more people are coming specifically to see the show and are just like, the audiences are just getting better and better.
Any chance of being extended?
I don't know. I haven't nobody's talked to me
about
that
yet. I'll talk to Dave
Stapley. Yeah, ask him. He
listens to the show. And this was directed by Nat Miller.
It was, yes. Yep. The fabulous Nat Miller.
The fab Nat.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what everybody at Zach calls him.
Exactly. And when do y'all close?
We close August 14th.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming
on. Oh my gosh, thank you.
I hope you'd be willing to stick around, walk backstage with us, and talk to us amongst the dumpsters.
I'm always in favor of walking backstage.
Excellent. Okay, well, great. That was J. Robert Moore. He is in Buyer and Seller at the Zach Theater on the Kleberg stage.
Kleberg.
I can never pronounce it properly. I also get Wizenhut wrong, too.
But you just said it.
Playing through August 14th. For more information, you may visit zachtheater.org.
So I'm shopping around.
She's just shopping around. Get it?
Shopping around.
Buyer and seller, anybody?
Yes, I got it.
Did you just see what I did right there? That's from a show called Wish You Were Here on the BMG label. We're running late, so quickly, what do you have for us locally?
I have the Pollyanna's doing one of their young shows, Trouble on the Double. About the twins, multiples. That's at the Long Center. It's running, starts this weekend, runs to the 17th. And then Austin.
Pollyanna.org.
Pollyannatheater.org. Longcenter.org. Mm-hmm. You can get more information. And then Austin Shakespeare and the Chamber Music, they're doing all this different festival for like 4 days. But Robert Ferris and a whole bunch of other folks are doing the Henry VIII part.
Oh.
With the music, and that's a one-night only event. I know.
When is that?
That is this Saturday, the 16th. It's just one. The chamber music has multiple events, but this one with Robert Ferris and Henry VIII.
That must be why I received a telephone call from Ann Ciccolella earlier today that I did not answer because I was on a business line. But that must be it.
Could be, but you can get more information at austinshakespeare.org.
Austinshakespeare.org. That sounds great. So let's just jump right into Today in Theater History.
Dun, dun, dun.
So in 1939, this is a young Hollywood hopeful is forced to watch her career fizzle as her boyfriend's blossoms in Lou Brown's new musical, Yokel Boy.
That's a mouthful.
Starring Lois January and Buddy Ebsen.
Buddy Ebsen
claim to fame for most people is Beverly Hillbillies. Hillbillies, but he lost his claim to fame in The Wizard of Oz. He was cast as a Tin Man.
See, I would say Wizard of Oz before I'd say Beverly Hillbillies.
Well, but most people don't. But most people don't know about Wizard of Oz. no, about him being cast, and he was. Do you know why he didn't do the role?
Yeah, he had an allergic reaction. Yeah, he got
the allergic reaction to the silver paint.
Yep.
You do forget that I graduated high school next to Chittenango Falls, where Frank Elbaum is from, and Yellow Brick Sidewalks.
All right, it's okay. All right, don't yell at me.
I love the.
She knows. She knows.
Yeah. 1999. Oh, this is also, by the way, the anniversary of Buddy Ebsen's death.
Really?
Yep. And he did other things. People don't think of him really as a musical performer, other than those that are really familiar with the Wizard of Oz thing. But he did a whole bunch of, did Ziegfeld Follies. He worked with Fanny Bryce, mm-hmm. speaking of Barbara Streisand, mm-hmm. Eddie Cantor.
Yeah, he did it all. Whoever that is.
okay. And let's see. 2000, a comedy called The Man in the Flying Long Chair begins at the 78th Street Theater Lab in New York. Do you remember this one? It was about the guy, the true story of the guy, Scott Shipman.
He's laughing.
He mimed the guy in a lawn chair with the balloons. Doesn't translate on radio.
No, but Sorry. It's interesting when you're in studio.
Smart ass.
I figured when you were showing everyone Brianne's picture earlier.
Yeah, but I let them see it. So this is also the London premiere of Roadshow. Stephen Sondheim and John Weidman at the Meunier Chocolate Factory.
That's a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice. Birthdays. Alexander Pushkin. That's
a fun name.
But that's not the Pushkin that was the communist, was it? I don't know. I didn't know who he was.
I don't know.
Ned Beatty, 1937.
Really? 1937?
Yeah. 1937. Jeffrey Rush, 1951.
Nice.
Locally, Catherine Catmull.
Aww.
Graham Schmidt. Oh. And Mr. Jeff Hinkle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bon anniversaire.
Bon anniversaire.
You're okay. On fire today, Lisa.
I am on fire. So make sure we're back on cut number four.
I am. I already did it. All right. I'm on it.
Oh, you know what? There's a reason why I chose Jane Eyre, and I think I was supposed to say something about Jane Eyre.
Something in theater history.
Yes,
that I did.
With Jane Eyre. I did not mention this. This is the Jane Eyre opened, the musical Jane Eyre opened at La Jolla Playhouse. It came to Broadway in the year 2000 and just died. And it couldn't live, even though it got a Drama Desk Award for the lead actress, Marla Schaffel. And a donation by Alanis Morissette of $150,000 to keep it open. Still didn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is from Jane Eyre.
A slip of a girl in sympathy, building.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, Nicole Shiro. We just got finished talking to Jimmy Moore and his show Buyer and Seller. It was good to talk to you, Jimmy. I'm kidding. I took his microphone away. So mean. Because we're going to talk to Zilker Theater Productions for that hot musical, Shrek. And here we have the director, Scott Shipman.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We were talking before the show. It's been many years since you've been on the show.
Quite a few. Half a decade.
Quite a few. Patrick King.
Hello, hello.
And Celeste Christine Castillo.
That's me.
I renamed Celeste Christine because I found that easier to remember.
I was just about to say, was that a renaming or something?
It was a renaming. It's a Lisa-ism because I'm not the smartest. I'm not the...
Stop
my
that.
My elevator does not go all the way to the tool shed.
Stop that.
So, Scott Shipman, you're the director of this. Tell us about this show, Shrek. Never heard of it.
Really? Oh, that's surprising. Most people have.
Heard of it.
So it was, you know, there was a book that was made, and then they turned it into a DreamWorks movie back in the late 90s, and then there's 8,000 sequels they've made since then. But
wonderful, by the way. I love the show.
They're pretty entertaining. They're really funny.
But it's they turned it into a Broadway show several years ago, and it's a good choice to, you know, work out at the park in the open air, and so that's what we're doing this year for Zilker.
Yeah. poor Shrek in all his costume in that.
Well, that is one of the main things we have to think about. Is how do we keep the actors from dying?
Oh yeah, that the person
there's
that plays donkey.
There's a lot of costumes.
Yeah, so a lot of costumes, but it's out there in the park, but a great show for the park.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
Yeah, maybe not July in Austin, Texas, but it's
if we can handle Beauty and the Beast, we can handle Shrek. Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's a good point.
It's a good one. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers as well.
Oh yeah,
that was a
that was
tough
another
one.
Yeah.
So you really want to do Beach Blanket Babylon in the park? Could you see that? Oh, Vesemir, that would be good.
I love it when they do a Christmas show, so everyone's in like wool coats.
Exactly.
Oh no.
So this follows the movie pretty point by point, right?
It's the original one. It's pretty close. You know, Shrek, the fairy tale creatures get kicked out of the out of their area, and they go to usurp his swamp, and so he goes on a quest to get them out of his land and back into the place where they are, rescues the princess, falls in love, happily ever after.
Right, and we actually have, there is the love interest of the of Shrek and Fiona. And then there's the secondary love interest, right?
Secondary love. Oh. I don't know what you're talking
but
about.
For the sake of this show, it's the primary love interest.
Absolutely.
Because
yes.
there are two couples.
Indeed.
You know, unless you want to include the three pigs. And I do.
You
so who's the second? Y'all are the second couple.
Yes.
Or the first couple, as it were.
Here we are. Yes. No.
Tell us who you are.
Well,
you go ahead.
Okay,
ladies,
I'll go
first.
Somebody
dragons
Patrick,
first.
Well, I'm playing Dragon, and Dragon has been given this task, you know, this job of keeping Fiona safe until some kind of, you know, crazy donkey like comes into the picture and then just like flatters her to no end, and she's like, oh my gosh, wait, who is this man or donkey? And yeah, he's pretty great. He calls me a big girl because you know,
there you go. Mm-hmm.
I'm a dragon.
Are you a big puppety thing?
So the way that they have it worked out for our show, I am in a full dragon costume, you know, mm-hmm. with a big headdress, and it's got like, I have wings that fully expand, but there is a 7-person manned 35-foot puppet that is behind me on the stage. So we're both on the stage at the same time.
Oh, cool.
Yes,
like
it's pretty fantastic. And our puppeteers are incredible. I don't know how they do what they do.
It's pretty amazing.
I just have to stand in front and sing. I mean, like, you know.
Where'd you find these puppeteers, Scott?
They're cast members. It's the people who play Pinocchio and the White Rabbit, and we have a couple of young kids. So the guy who's playing the Shoemaker's Elf is also the tail, whipping it back and forth. And so.
Now,
that's
is this
really cool?
That's cool. Is it? I've only seen the video of the Broadway mm-hmm. version of Shrek, mm-hmm. and I think I saw a high school production. Is this the way it's typically done?
Well, it's there's a couple of differences between the one that people can see on Netflix. You know, in that the version that's licensable doesn't have the magic mirror. You know, they use the gingerbread man more for that because of that effect. But mm-hmm. It's usually done either one way or the other. It's either an offstage voice with a puppet, or it's a lady who's in the costume. And we opted for the both route.
Why not?
Didn't you go see Broadway Across America with it with me like 3 years ago?
Maybe. Yes, probably.
Yeah, it came through a few years ago.
I was about to say, I went with you.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other thing about the dragon number is that it's very different from the one you can see on Netflix. Because on Netflix, it's a group number. There's not one person playing the dragon.
Right.
Whereas in this, it's a totally different song, and it is absolutely a solo role.
So. Oh, cool.
I like the song a lot better, though, than the Broadway. At first, I heard it, and then it's called Donkey Pot Pie on the Broadway version, and I was just
Donkey
like,
Pot Pie.
It's interesting. But then this one's forever, and it has like a real soulful like kick to it, and I was like, okay, I can groove to this.
So Patrick, you're playing Donkey.
Yes.
How fun is that? Got
a fun role.
Well, it was one of the roles I have been wanting to play for the longest time because mm-hmm. I feel like that's one of the only ones I can do best. So I was like, this is. That's
because
so
you're
exciting
funny?
For me. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, just sometimes. Okay. So I felt like, I was like, when Scott told me that I was casted for it, I was like freaking out. I was like, oh my God. He was like, don't tell anyone. I was like, it's kind of hard.
Don't tell anyone.
It was a very donkey reaction. Yeah.
Very, very donkey reaction. It's very exciting. I love it so much. It's
and
so great.
What's your sign?
My
donkey
song?
Sign.
Sign.
Yeah, we talked about this before we went on the air. I'm assuming that this was a directorial thing. I'm assuming you know Donkey Song.
Actually, I don't. I'm not very good with horoscopes stuff like that. So
All right. So that's your homework.
That's my homework. I told you
I was going to be giving you notes. Your notes are, you know, do the backstory, get the story.
What's Donkey Sign?
And I know that.
I've never
about,
done
though.
That backstory.
What Chinese year he was as well.
Celeste,
do you know Dragon Sign?
Negative.
Okay.
Year of the Dragon. She's probably like, I mean, she may be a Scorpio. I mean, no. Scott says no. Scott says yes. Scott.
Libra.
I'm a Libra. Great.
Scott's like,
then just
Libra.
Like me. Then just like me. Just like me. Then.
So y'all have been, so you have not opened yet. You open this weekend. Do you know?
Correct.
Yes.
And
yes,
you've
yes.
been out there in the park rehearsing, right?
For a couple weeks, yeah.
So
one. Oh, you've been rehearsing for a couple weeks.
Well, we rehearsed in a space.
Well, no, I mean, you've been at the park for a couple weeks.
At the park for about 2.5 already, yeah.
Wow.
I didn't realize you were out there. I thought it was only like a week you're out there. So that's awesome.
So for the education of the audience, most shows will be on in the theater maybe a week before they open.
Mm-hmm. Lucky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were lucky this year in that we got like a week to go out there and, you know, respace everything from the rehearsal spot. And then we had a week of techs, and now we're in dress before we open on Friday.
Excellent. And I hear that when you need to use the restroom.
Oh my gosh.
So because great. We have them.
You have restrooms.
58 years in the making.
Yeah. I mean, a luxury porta potty can only go so far.
It's true.
But the air conditioning in that luxury porta potty was great, but this one's still pretty good.
So what can you tell folks about Shrek the Musical that they may not know about Shrek in general?
Well, one of the things that I love about it that a lot of people, because people associate it with being like a kid's show or for kids, they don't understand that it's very reminiscent for anyone, you know, who grew up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Like if you watched the Muppet Show, the original Muppet Show, or like in the 90s, you had cartoons like the Animaniacs, where the humor style, like kids can enjoy it, but it's actually geared towards the adults who are watching it with them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people don't realize the scope and breadth of the audience appeal for it.
I think that is the art of a family musical,
yeah,
or a family show at all. And for instance, Beauty and the Beast does not do that. in my opinion, there's nothing in it for an adult to enjoy other than the beautiful costumes and the scenery. But Shrek is exactly that. You can enjoy it.
Got some great witty humor,
and it's deep. It's a deep show.
It's deep.
I mean, no, it really
it's,
is.
Well, it's got layers.
It's like an onion. Exactly. It has layers.
Like a parfait.
I've never realized
like a parfait.
How like
which you could pack and have on the hillside while watching Shrek.
Indeed.
Until I got into the musical.
Well, it is true. The story of the show is a very it tells, you know, you can't judge a book. And also,
it's kind of great in that basically what it boils down to is reaffirming that the best thing you can ever do for the world is to embrace yourself and be yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, which is
and embrace others message. And embrace their differences.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I'm going to cry.
I have all the little songs going in my head right now. I'm laughing.
Yeah. I've got the Pinocchio song going through my head right now. I can't. I think I could play Pinocchio really, really well. Pinocchio knows. Open this Thursday?
We have a preview on Thursday. We officially open on Friday.
Okay. And you're out at the park. And what time is curtain?
8:15.
8:15.
Mm-hmm. 8:15. Oh,
so you get to see the sun go down. Actually, it's sort of fun when you go to to the park at that time because you watch it and you let the lights start to take hold.
Exactly.
So that's interesting. I'm curious. Well, maybe I'll ask this. This will say I've got a curious question to ask at backstage. So we'll save a Shrek
curiouser,
question for backstage.
Curiouser, said Alice to the caterpillar.
And how long do you play?
We go all the way through Saturday, August 13th.
Saturday, August 13th.
So Jimmy beats us up by one day.
Oh. and then the month of performances that he's,
he's tough. So the show starts at 8:15. What time should people show up at the hillside to get a decent spot?
Well, people tend to be out there fairly early. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like to go to Barton Springs and lay out a blanket and then go to swim and then come back for a picnic. So some people get there as early as in the 5 to 6 range. Right. But
I've seen some 3:30s.
Absolutely, the thing that's fun about it is that it does fill up pretty quickly. There's large crowds, so if you want to go, you should plan on committing to it.
But also rest assured, so it's not bad. I have sat in the very very back and watched shows. Sat up on the wall,
on the rock
the
wall
hill.
Up there. Yep,
perfectly good too.
Yep,
so it's good.
I've been on the sides. I've never had a bad seat from there, and it's always different no matter where mm-hmm. when you mm-hmm. sit.
Absolutely.
So.
Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
I hope you will
stay with us backstage.
You have to stay.
It's funny. I have last week's closing here, so we'll see what I actually say.
I think you're going to do this.
I think I am. So that was Scott Shipman, Celeste Castillo, and Patrick King of Zilker Theater Productions, production of Shrek the Musical, playing this Thursday through August 13th. For more information, zilker.org. And we'll hear a little bit of Donkey, shall we?
Yes, let's shout.
Sing a song, it's a travel song. When you
oddly enough,
I love a road trip.
Patrick
we were just
was
talking
singing
about
along with
a
that.
Road trip.
We were just talking about a road trip.
Lisa and I are going to go to space camp, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah, space camp. Camp.
Yeah, yes, we are.
Space camp.
What do you do sounds at space great. Camp?
We learn how to be astronauts.
How to be astronauts.
Stop it.
That sounds yes, exciting.
Si, señorita.
Yep.
Okay, so that's it for the day.
It is.
We're done. We're gonna slip out the stage door and hang out backstage amongst the dumpsters,
like the derelicts we are.
So those of you who are not listening to the podcast, our question is
why?
Why Hello? The heck not?
Get with the program, do it.
Get us on iTunes or Stitcher or the other way you can get us.
Best way, easiest way, go to offstageonair.com. Just enter your little email
we'll
in the
right
box there, and we just arrive in your mailbox.
You'll
the
have
show
it tomorrow.
Is there.
Austin Monitor News is next. If you're listening here on the broadcast, if you're not, stick around. We are going to be backstage with all the group. We're going to have a really, really great raucous time. And we're going to learn the answer to the quiz and how Jimmy got his equity card.
Dun, dun, dun.
So this I really should have played at the top of the show, but I didn't. But this is in honor of the birthday of our country.
Oh, right.
We're waiting for the chirp, chirp, chirp. Of an eaglet being
all right, curtain has just come down on Stanislavski, the musical. The story of a hapless young theater teacher trying to get his students to have sense memory.
And emotional recall.
And emotional recall, all of the above.
That's the reprise.
Yeah. Right. So
emotional recall.
So here we are. We're backstage. We have we've walked backstage, and here we are. We're all here. We have Jimmy Moore is with us back here.
Hi.
We have Scott Shipman back
hello.
Here. Mr. Patrick King.
Hello.
And Celeste Castillo.
Hi.
Well, hi. So, okay, first of all, who's got their equity card in this room other than Jimmy and I? And Nicole. I know you had your equity card.
Negative.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah, I'm sure we have. I don't listen to you. So let's just be very clear about
it. Because
we
had this whole conversation about reinstating it.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you know, getting your equity card is a huge deal. And back when I got my equity card, and I've said this on the, there was the only way you could get an equity card at the time was to get a contract. So it was a big mm-hmm. catch-22. But now there's lots of different ways. But how sure. did? You, but what's the story? How'd you
so,
get yours?
This is not like a. This is kind of a weird thing. But so I actually am just about to get it. So I'm like
okay.
right on the doorstep of it. And okay. I just signed the contract last night.
Congratulations.
So I
oh,
can't tell you. Yeah. So I can't tell you like what show it's for or where it's happening because they haven't announced the cast yet.
Oh.
But here's it's coming up and stay tuned.
So what? Wait, hold on.
I have a question.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. Ask your question.
Well, are you getting it flat out from that contract or did you work and do the point system and work
yeah,
getting
so I will
credit
be getting
along
it
the way
from that contract, although I did start the points. So I didn't really start working in regional and equity houses until pretty recently. So that I just didn't really have the opportunity
right.
to.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was living in New York, so many things were non-ec and it was like, don't take your card. Like it'll keep you from going on tours, like whatever. And so a lot of us didn't at that time. And so now it's sort of in the air for me. And, you know, I'm sort of talking to people about how that
okay.
works.
So 20 questions. Is this
okay.
show a musical?
This show is a musical.
Okay.
I feel like I should use a funny voice, like on what's that 50s TV show?
Is What's My Line?
What's My Line?
Yeah.
The show is a musical.
Is this show in the state of Texas?
No, the show is not in the state of Texas.
Is the show in multiple cities?
No.
Okay.
It is not in multiple cities.
Right.
It is in one city, but a lot of people do this show.
We only have two more questions. So who wants to answer
who wants to
ask the next yes, no question?
I'm gonna pass on this.
Is it is it further than 1,000 miles?
Oh God, I don't know. Oh, I'm come terrible on, just... with math. I don't think so. I don't think so. It's about a 6-hour drive.
Oh, drive. That is definitely under. Okay, that makes a big difference.
It's about a 6-hour drive, but it's not in the state of Texas.
So okay. It's a neighbor.
It's a neighbor.
It's a neighbor.
Are you a lead?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Good. Well, we will look forward to seeing it. When
will you come back and talk to us?
Yeah, when
about
will the cat
it?
Be
gosh,
out of the bag?
I'd love to come back and talk to you about it. The cat will be out of the bag, I'm sure, in a couple of months because it's coming up.
Well, Mazel Tov, that is the best way I feel to get your
equity
card.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah,
exciting. I remember I saved the pen.
That was really?
My card. I don't have it anymore, but I was just very, very excited. It was like the biggest thing.
Yeah, it's such a thing.
And I had my favorite pen at the time, and so I kept it.
It's such a moment for
as a child.
I
didn't
build up to that.
You were a child? How old were you when you got your equity card?
Six.
Are you Shirley Temple?
I had the opportunity. I did a commercial when I was 11 years old in 1969, and they offered me a SAG contract, and I turned it down because I didn't know what SAG was. Mm-hmm. I was 11.
Yeah, I kind of... I
didn't know what it was. And then when I get to New York, and I go, at the time, if you were a part of any of the 4As, you could join.
What?
It's like...
I had a friend in Summerstock last summer that was talking about all of the shows that he had done with this certain theater. And I was like, are you equity? And he was like, no. And I was like, how many shows have you done with these people? And he was like, oh, yeah, a lot. And I was like, you're not getting points or anything? And he was like, yeah, I want to move to New York. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you could have already.
At least go on the program.
Yeah, like you could have at least. You
know. And I will say this. I'll have to say this in a different scratchy voice. It is possible to do shows, non-equity shows, when you're equity.
Oh,
yes, there is. Oh, yeah. Deb came out.
Yes.
Deb came out to
I
give
remember
us
when
the
I was
scoop.
A chorus girl in Minsky's.
Although there's really not a way, there's a way.
Yeah. So, Christine, what's your story? Where are you from?
Christine.
That's Celeste.
What's my story? Where am I from? Where am I from? I'm from San Antonio, Texas. Born and
do
raised.
You know Jimmy?
Get out of here.
I went to Tom C. Clark High School.
Get out of here. I went to Marshall.
Shut up.
Yeah. Wow. So are those
shut
like
up.
Sister schools? They're
we're
friendly.
In the same district. We used to play football.
But you don't know each other.
What?
No.
So what
that's
position did you
might
play?
Be a little
were you,
bit older.
Christine, were you, Christine, I know I'm doing it. Celeste, are you the quarterback? And were you the running back?
I was definitely the quarterback of the football team. Absolutely.
Excellent.
It's really great.
From San Antonio?
Born and raised in San Antonio. Moved up to Austin for school at UT. Hookah.
I've heard of that place.
And, yeah. And
were you
then
in
I
the School of Theater and Dance there?
I was not.
UT?
I was actually in the School of Music, the Butler School of Music.
Lovely.
I got a degree in music education. So I went up 183, and I'm a middle school teacher up in Cedar Park.
Oh, rock
I teach
on.
Choir.
I love it. Arts education.
Arts education, y'all. It's so much fun. I love my job.
Do you call it show choir?
We don't, but I at the end of the year we have
change
a pop
it.
Show.
Change it to show choir.
It to show choir.
Yeah.
No, it's so great. And then after I graduated from school is when I really started doing shows in the Austin area, and it's been fantastic. I've been so lucky.
Rock on.
Yeah, I love fun. A lot of fun.
So did you do theater in high school and stuff?
I did high school theater. Yeah, I was always in. I was in all the musicals.
Were you always the lead?
Never.
Were you that person that I hated?
I was not. Okay. I was.
Were you good. That person that I hated?
Were you that,
let me
that
tell
person
you.
Everyone hated.
I rocked that ensemble real hard. I know how to have a good time as a party guest, you know. It's like a townsperson. I'm really great. So, but yeah,
spear
no,
holder
no.
number three.
Listen, I still remember customer number four from being in She Loves Me.
Hey, I was a bottled
I am proud of customer number
those
four.
Those roles are sometimes
man,
the hardest. I mean,
I was the seven of
Mona
hearts
Lisa
in the Alice
cream,
in Wonderland
and
scene.
I did 12 days of Christmas. I was a happy camper.
Yes.
It's great. It's a lot of fun. You get to have
so,
a lot of fun.
So, okay, what's your favorite chorus? What's favorite or wackiest chorus role?
Probably the bottle dancer in Fiddler on the Roof, because, hi, I'm a woman, and stacked up to the other people that
you know what?
With.
Okay, so you saw Fiddler on Broadway.
Yes.
There was a female-identified
yep.
bottle
sure was,
dancer,
yes,
but they don't say anything about it.
No, they don't say anything about it. There's two girls that are...
Well, we don't know.
Well, we
They look... By appearances, they'd be female, but
they'd
you don't
be,
know.
No,
but
you have no idea.
It's interesting.
No,
sure.
And I noticed
yeah.
it in
there's
the
two
Tonys.
And the Tonys,
they
and in the...
in a few times, and
yeah.
I was like,
wait
like, a minute.
I only saw one, though.
Actually.
But that person was a bottle dancer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I saw that.
Okay. Patrick, what about you? Do you do chorus work?
I have, yes.
What's your fun and favorite chorus role?
My fun and favorite chorus role...
Or wackiest. One you want to share.
Okay. I don't even know, to be honest. I would
were
say...
You, okay, you were that person that always got the lead.
No, I actually wasn't. I wasn't.
I
wasn't.
Can't remember what chorus I was in.
No, I want to say the most fun that I had
the best
was
chorus
last year.
I had was J. Pierpont Finch. That was a great chorus role.
Okay, well, I mean, at my high school, there weren't really that many great people, so okay. I wasn't the lead, but I was like, I was a little better
okay.
Than
so,
most people.
So,
so I guess last year was my first Zilker show, which was Hairspray. That was the first time I had actually been like, oh yeah, you're in the ensemble, so you do ensemble stuff. So like,
so you're one of the dancers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I had like the most
hard
fun,
work
so,
though.
Yes, it is hard.
Everywhere.
Like with this show, I'm just like, I'm kind of happy I'm not ensemble because they are doing way more work than I feel like we are, and it's so
a lot
amazing.
Of work. It's so
work.
We've talked about that on this show before.
Swings and ensembles.
Yes. Yep.
Hardest
Scott, what about
people.
You? You do ensemble work? Have you?
The
I've only seen you doing leads, so
he's that guy you hated in high school. Did you have a rivalry?
But
well, but I didn't know him in his younger years.
One of the
he's clearly the oldest person in this room.
That's likely factual in nature. One of my most entertaining experiences was when they opened the new theater at Zach and we did Ragtime, and I played 17 people.
Okay.
You know, so that was a fun one because
I am reasonably certain I saw you in that production.
Crazy constant. Changing. I love that they relabeled the quick change dressing room Scott's dressing room.
Scott, this is Scott's dressing room.
And Jimmy?
I was in the chorus of Camelot when I was 16 years old. It was my very first musical.
In San Antonio?
In San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, if there's anybody out there listening from San Antonio. but I wore like a very short green tunic in the lusty month of May. And I didn't realize that it was as short as it was. And the stage was raised kind of above the audience. So I found
you
at the
commando.
End of the summer that
you
everybody could see my tunic the whole time. I was in a dance belt. But still, that was mortifying for a 16-year-old kid.
Oh, yeah, 16. That's
okay.
A lot of...
That was the last time I played chorus.
And Nicole, do you have a favorite chorus other than She Loves Me?
Well, no, I had customer number 4. I had a name in that.
Okay, sorry. I'm so sorry.
Customer number 4.
You know what? Probably Superstar. But I mean, I danced in it too, but then I did all the other ensemble stuff. I talk about that Superstar. I did that bad boy for almost 3 years. I love that show. So, yeah, Superstar.
Superstar.
I was going to say Superstar.
Superstar.
Yep. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Really. Superstar. In case you were. It's not Superstar.
I don't know Superstar.
Which could be coming to Broadway. You don't know.
But you never know.
You know, there was just, I just read something about and I forgot what I read, but they're talking about the arena version of Superstar that was cast from
Andrew Lloyd Webber's TV show in England.
And they did it right. The guy that played Jesus Christ.
Jesus came and did Jesus when they revived it on Broadway right after that.
Yep.
I don't remember his name. I'm sorry, buddy.
Jesus is what I call him.
Jesus, dude. He played Jesus. English Jesus. Because he was
Jesus.
English.
Yeah. So. Patrick, where are you from? I sort of like this.
Wait
we're
a minute.
Just talking about
stuff. What's your favorite? Like, you can't not answer this question.
I mean, I talk about my
the
Broadway experience,
ass.
The camel's ass.
Yes, the camel's
on
ass.
Broadway.
Camel? Oh
yeah,
gosh.
So I played the rear end of a camel. A microphone. A show called Oh Brother. We played 3 performances on Broadway. Yeah.
Papa Pope was in that.
I directed title of show a couple of months ago.
Oh, okay. They talk about Oh
Brother.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a short.
Yeah, we were really mad that we didn't make the Joe Allen's Wall.
Oh.
So Joe Allen's, for people that don't know, they're a restaurant in New York on Restaurant Row, and they're famous for having flops.
The fails.
And we did not. Merrily We Roll Along, which was right across the street from us, and opened the same time we did. They're on the wall, but we're not.
Yeah, but you did that. Papa Pope was in that show. Wasn't that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Morton was in my show.
I like him.
Yeah. So that's cool. So very quickly, we always talk about where people come from, and we've already almost used all our time. But so, Patrick, where are you from?
I am from Seguin, Texas.
Seguin, Texas. Yes. Everybody Texan here?
Mm-hmm.
You're not officially a Texan.
Well, no, I was born at the Jersey Shore. Yeah. I was supposed to be born in the city, and then I came out at the shore.
I would be proud. I don't claim
but
Texas
I moved
as being, but
to
I did,
Texas,
but I did.
But no, oh no. Well, my brother will argue with you. Oh, I'm a Texan, I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you're a New Jerseyer.
Yeah, but see,
no, there was a lot
to give birth in the city in the summertime. How awful! Your mom was probably like, "Let's just go."
There was a lot of judgment.
It was June 25th. It was hot, and she wanted to get out for the weekend. He said, "You're not going to have the kid go." I should have been born at St. Vincent's, but I lived in the dresser drawer. My first home I ever went home to was in Manhattan in the West Village.
What's the character
I lived
that
in
lived
the
in a dresser drawer.
The Japanese men on Seinfeld with Kramer.
No, but didn't somebody live in a dresser drawer in Annie? the musical?
Molly.
Molly.
That's who I played. That's how I got my equity card. Playing Molly. Isn't that hilarious? Zing. Zing. But yeah, there was no room for a bassinet in my parents'
apartment.
You were
11 and you got your... What?
Six.
So was it a tour?
I lived in the dresser drawer in the house in the Village.
Okay, was it a steward? I want to talk about your equity experience.
This was in Houston with Joanne Woolery. We've had this conversation.
But tell me what theater.
Yes.
Tell me.
Laughing?
Yes.
Tell me what theater. It's the Theater Under the Stars?
Yeah.
Okay, don't yell at me.
Oh, sorry.
Gosh sakes.
I feel like we're such close friends.
I don't know anything. I've got a mind like a sieve. So Seguin, Texas. Yeah. Yes, Patrick is going, you were talking to me. No,
trust me.
That's okay. Yeah, small town. They're trying to make the come up right now. They're trying to get everything all modernized. And
I was like, it used to be small, but it's not small.
It's getting
like
pretty big now.
Did you do theater back there in Seguin?
Did I what?
Did you do theater in Seguin?
I did, yes. Our theater scene is actually bigger than... you would think it is. The only thing is, they're so conservative that we don't get to do a lot.
Seguin's up north. It's up by, isn't it up by?
No, it's south. Going Seguin's south. Like right by on your way.
That's what I said. Seguin is south.
When I was in really?
College. Kyle and Sam Marcus. You did stuff in
Seguin. I did My Fair Lady in Seguin, and then I directed a Christmas show that I wrote in Seguin like the next year.
What was
so
it called?
Seguin does have some.
From Us to You. It was a USO World War II Christmas show.
Oh. I love it.
It's sort of like White Christmas.
I feel like they did that at Texas a couple years ago.
Did they?
Or something like that.
Not my version. My version ended up...
yeah, he wrote it.
I wrote it. Yeah, I don't know where those
if they did
anymore.
It at TechArts, like there's going to be some place. Letters written. Scott, you've not been backstage before.
Correct.
We didn't have backstage.
We did not.
So tell me where you grew up.
Well, I was born in the Dallas area in Plano and then moved to Houston when I was 8.
What part of Houston?
The Northwest, the suburbs area.
The Northwest.
I did the reversal.
Suburbs.
I did the living in the Houston and moving to the Dallas.
Yeah.
What high school did you go to in Houston?
Cypress Creek.
Cypress.
Yes.
That was not part of Houston when I lived there.
No, but it is
it's
now.
It's out in that Cypress Tomball area.
Yeah, yeah. So. Cool. So you didn't go to HSPVA.
I did not.
She did. No, you went to the Dallas version.
I went to Arts Magnet at Booker T. Washington.
Booker T. Washington.
But it's now called Booker T. Washington. I don't know. They changed it. When I went, because I'm an old lady.
So here's the question I have about the technical part of Shrek as a director. So when you are, when you're working with your lighting designer, you know that the first 20 to 25 minutes of the show, the lights are going to do nothing, basically. Do you still design them?
Yes. It's still done.
And do you design them? Do you tech it? Or do you set the cues in the lighting that it's going to be at? Or are you setting the cues at night and adjusting once you see it in the actual light that
I think
it's going
it's
to be?
Both, because they also stay there much longer after rehearsal is over.
Yeah, because they're the ones
work
that do the real work.
Yeah. But we also, during rehearsals, start at like an 8:10, 8:15 run so that we see what it's actually going to look like and adjust accordingly.
So I had a question as a director. I mean, I would say at some point, well, first of all, I would maybe tech act two first. And then sort of go backwards from act one, because at one point you go, you know what? I don't care if this is a 10-count cue or a 3-count cue. You're not seeing it. So, I mean, how subtle are you?
It's
true.
No,
but
I know.
One of the specific things that we try and do when working with the lighting designer out at Zilker is to make it so that as the natural light fades – and you start seeing the lights more and more, you don't notice that you're seeing the lights more and more.
I love.
You still run all the cues like so that it's a natural bleed over, and then suddenly you're halfway through Act 1, you're like, oh, it's dark outside, and I didn't even notice, and now I'm seeing all these gorgeous colors, but you realize you've been seeing them the whole time.
Right. So I come from a technical theater background in stage management, and so when I go see shows, I'm constantly like up there looking at stuff. And so whenever I go to Zilker, I'm up there looking, going, yeah, they're running lights. I wonder why. But I also do appreciate the magic, you know, in Twilight, you're starting to see a little bit of it. And then at some point you go, oh, hey, it's lit.
Yeah. And it's still enough. It's still slightly dark enough outside naturally that as just area lights come on, it still helps the audience refocus where you want them to look. Even
but still,
if
as a director, I would find it difficult because also one would assume, well, it would be different on an overcast day. It's going to be different.
Yeah. But it's one of those things. That it's not where you spend the majority of your time and energy.
I would stay there.
I want this. Sleep. It's
this
cloudy
cue is not
today.
Right. You're not staying until you get this cue correct.
I said 73%.
But
that would be me.
Yeah.
Then people hate me. This is why I don't direct so much anymore.
Oh my God, Lisa Shep, you're cracking me up today.
What would you do, Jimmy? You're a director. Have you directed an outdoor piece?
I haven't. And you know what? I've never done outdoor theater. I've performed in a couple of barns, but I've never performed in like an outdoor theater.
I grew up in one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. No, I've never performed in an outdoor theater before. But I think I would have to sort of maybe that would be good to start with Act 2 and kind of get that out of the way. But yeah, I love the idea that I love the feeling as an audience member when you sort of descend into the story without really knowing.
Right.
And so you don't have to make the choice to suspend your disbelief. Mm-hmm. It just sort of happens for you. I think that's so magical. And so that's one of the things that I love about Zilker Hillside as well.
Agreed. So the interesting thing is magic to do.
For me and you.
For you and me. For me and you. We've got magic to do just for you. Oh, speaking of that, I was... Oh, never mind. I heard a pod... Oh, shoot. We're supposed to do that at the very beginning. Okay. So here we go. We're going to get the answer to the quiz.
I'm doing the end of it.
Yeah. We're going to get the answer to the quiz. I'm so sorry.
Oh, and there goes
I even thought of it.
Ah, okay. So we were talking about the Annie Get Your Gun. So, Ray Middleton played Frank Butler, Annie's rival sharpshooter and love interest. Frank declares he's a bad, bad man who exploits have made it impossible for him to return to parts of the country. Which of these locales is not on his list? A, Texas. B, Wyoming. C, Arkansas. D, Omaha. E, Tennessee.
Okay, what's your guess, Celeste?
Gosh darn it. C, I don't know.
C, what's C?
C's Arkansas.
Arkansas. Patrick?
I'm going with Omaha.
Omaha?
Well, let's just run the gamut. I'll say Tennessee.
Tennessee?
I'll just take whatever's left over.
Texas?
Texas. Texas and Wyoming.
I'm going Omaha. It's
You're
totally
Omaha?
Yeah.
It's totally Omaha.
It is? Good job.
No, we don't know. We don't know yet. Say things with enough conviction, people believe you know what you're talking about.
It's Omaha. What are you talking about? Are we ready? It's A. Frank Texas. Butler can go back to Texas where he can meet Annie's uncle who can't sign his name, but he'd better stay away from all those other places.
There you go.
Well,
let me just tell you something. I have a little piece of advice for all of you.
Yeah.
Yep.
For all of you, no matter what your sexual orientation is, you cannot get a man with a gun. That's all I'm saying.
Tell it, Lisa.
Thank you guys for being backstage.
Thank you for having us.
And remember, what's the piece of advice?
Can't get a man with a gun.
That's right. Good night.
Actually,
that's what it is. It is.